Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and you know, this season, I was writing about this yesterday. It is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? And as I was writing the Christmas newsletter, I start singing that, you know, wonderful song. It's the wonderful time of the year. Chestnuts are roasting, and all of a sudden you remember New York City, right? People are just walking the streets and bundled up. You're going to Rockefeller Center and see the Christmas tree, and you'll go check, we did it. They take selfies, put it on the website, and hey, we're famous. That's how it works nowadays, right? It's amazing. And then people go and see shows, the family comes together, and it is truly a wonderful time of the year. And then we all look forward to our Christmas Eve service here, of course. Everybody is just, you know, losing sleep over it, but just calm down. And then we come and do that, and then Christmas Day comes on the 25th. By afternoon, we're just praying that the in-laws will go back sooner to their home. Everything is nice, and everybody puts a big smile, and everybody got the gift that they did not want, and everybody is thanking each other. And then December 26th comes, and then there's a lull period between December 26th to 31. Yeah, I mean, everybody is looking for the new year, but they've got nothing to do. They're just like, all right, I'll clean this, I'll clean that. And then the cycle starts again. You know, it's not that wonderful afterwards. You know, everybody making New Year resolutions of how many pounds they're going to shed in January. By February, they're so depressed. By March, they're looking for Easter. The cycle starts again, and then, you know. But if this is what life is all about, I mean, and for many, unfortunately, it is quite a boring, not only boring, but a dangerous path to be in. We're always looking for something that's going to happen in the future. And then as that future comes, something pops up that can disrupt our present. You know, because no one can predict the future. No one can predict tomorrow. And unfortunately, things do happen in life that is just disrupts us. You know, it could be sickness. It could be, you know, one of our children or your spouse or your husband, or, you know, they might go through a hardship, or, you know, we don't want these things, and it just disrupts us. And then as it disrupts us, it just shakes us. But I sometimes wonder how people do it without Christ. I really do. I'm not just saying this. How can they go through life storms without Christ? But we don't like, we like predictability, don't we? We like to know what's happening tomorrow. I mean, I love to know what I'm eating even, you know, nothing about what we're eating today, but I'd love to have a general, Lord, don't help me afterwards. I'd like to have a general knowledge of what's happening this afternoon, but I've also learned to, you know, life is amazing. It teaches you to realize not everything you've planned for is going to come into the way you've imagined it. You know, things are going to change in this life journey. Sometimes, you know, some people have it computerized how things life is going to turn on. And if something happens, it will change the direction. I always say, Lord, if we're praying for your will to be done on earth as it is in ours, are we also willing to be interrupted? And not many people like to be, I don't like to be interrupted. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like my life to be interrupted. But the greatest blessings that have taken place in my life are through interruptions. I cannot tell you how blessed I've been when God interrupted my life. And Christmas is all about interruption. God enters planet Earth when no one was expecting. Imagine, for 400 years, God has not spoken. You know, Israelites were used to for prophets to come and declare God's truth to the people. For years and years and years, God sent Isaiah and talked about the Messiah that's going to come. No one knew when he was going to come, but everybody expected that the Messiah is going to come one day. Then Micah came, then Jeremiah, and then, you know, Amos, and all these prophets, minor, major, you know, they all came and spoke to God's people. But then for 400 years, God is silent. The only thing that they have is scripture. Not 100 years, not 200 years, of generations have come and gone. And the only stories that they have to cling upon are the stories that were told by their great-great-great-great-grandparents. People did not have Bibles in their homes as we do. But people passed on the faith of their forefathers. They talked about Passover. They talked about, you know, the things that God did in their history. And a young lady by the name of Mary, she grew up in a very devout home. And what do we know about Mary? That she, this is what we know from Mary from Scripture, is that her father's name was Eli. It's a very Jewish name. Second, she had a sister named Salome. Third, she had a relative, you know, most probably it was her cousin, named Elizabeth. Fourth, she was young. Fifth, she was poor. Sixth, she was a devout believer in God. And seventh, she was very much in love. You know, back then, you know, people got married very early. And they died very early. Not because they got married very early. And nothing is, it's just, you know, people just, you know, there were a lot of diseases they did not understand. You know, if you had a stomach virus or, you know, or whatever, something very simple, it just killed you. But today, thanks to the the advancements in medicine, we know a lot of the things that people back then did not know. But what I want you to know about Mary is that her father was, and her parents, she came from a very devout family. So she knew scriptures. She knew that, you know, that to us a child was going to be born, a son was going to be given, and the government was going to be laid upon his shoulder, and he was going to be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Now, I'm not making this up. It's the words of Isaiah. And she knew all these, but she never thought it was going to be through her. You know, life is funny. Sometimes we never think that God is going to use us in a mighty way because we are nobodies. And God keeps looking for nobodies because he wants all the glory to go to him. So Mary's parents and Joseph's parents, they made an arranged marriage between these two. I don't know why, but back then this is how people married. You know, the parents had to choose the bride and they made all these arrangements. You really had not much to say as a kid. Most probably she was 16. Some people say she was as young as 14 or as old as 17. We don't know exactly how old she was. We know she came from Nazareth. She came from a devout family. So the first thing they did was the engagement. And that engagement was like marriage, but you cannot cohabit with one another. So you lived in your parents' house. And I don't know, what would engaged women do nowadays? They would look forward to their big day, right? You'll get sick and tired at home, or on a wedding, you're going to have this, you're going to have this type of food at the reception. Now, they did not talk about food. The only thing she wanted to do is just form a new family with Joseph. So everything she did at home, she helped her mother, and most probably she got water from the well every day because there were no hot water or cold water, you know, pipes coming to your house. But she was just the average kid looking forward to getting that, you know, to that big day, to get married to Joseph and start a new family, and then her life is interrupted. Now, part of me says, well, it's not fair to put all this on a 14-year-old. You know, adults can take it, but on a 14-year-old, well, well, even adults cannot take it. You know, 6 months prior to the story that I'm going to read today, another miracle happens. You've got a couple by the name of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Both came from a very priestly family. Elizabeth was the descendant of Aaron. You know, Aaron and Moses, she was a descendant of that line. And Zechariah came from a family of priests. Their lineage went to Abijah. And they both served God. They were very devout people. But the problem in their lives is they could never have children. You know, and that's something in that society was something that, you know, people looked at you as if the curse of God was upon you, or you've done something terrible that God closed your womb. I mean, this is how close-minded they were in that society. And they've always prayed. They did not do nothing but pray. Lord, give us a child if it's according to your will. Sometimes God looks into the future, and he sees the future, and he does things for our own benefit. He protects us from things that we don't see. And the hard thing for us to do is to accept it. Because we think sometimes we know better. These people really prayed for a child. Part of me says, Lord, why didn't you give them a child when they were younger? Well, the problem was that child was going to be killed. And no parent should see their kid die. God, in his wisdom, I believe, gave John the Baptist to an elderly couple. Because when John grows up and he's going to be beheaded, his parents are no longer alive to witness that. God's purposes are far greater than ours. We might not understand it, but if it's for His glory, and if life is temporary, we might as well adhere to His voice. Sometimes we overwhelm ourselves with things we cannot change. That's why I was reminded this morning as I was praying, try to always look at life from heaven's perspective and not from earth's perspective. Heaven will give you both. Earth will give you only one way. And it's just very limited the way you see from earth. From heaven, you see the present as well as the future. Now back to Mary. Of course, Elizabeth now, Zechariah, when he is a priest, and once a year, a priest was chosen to serve in the holiest of holy places in the temple, and it was his turn. And we know as we read chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke, is that the angel visits Zechariah and he says, you're going to have a child. Now the man is very old. He knows that humanly that's impossible. And instead of laughing, he starts questioning the angel. Now, and then he is muted. And later on, God is going to open his mouth to name his child. Because God says to him, you're going to name your child John. And then later on, when the child is born, of course, everybody's trying to name John a name. They want to name him Zechariah Jr. But it is at that moment John opens his mouth and he says, no, his name is going to be called John. Beautiful story. From our end, it's beautiful. From their end, it was really, really difficult. Now, and then 6 months while, you know, Elizabeth is into her pregnancy, this is what happens. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be done to me as you have said. And the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. What fascinates me is in this story is that Mary was not expecting a revelation like this. She was minding her own business. Most probably, we don't know where this event happened, if it was in her house, but we know there was nobody else around her. And it's interesting that some people say, well, it's a mythical story. Well, I say it's not a mythical story for somebody to get pregnant out of nowhere. It's not a mythical story for Joseph also to see a dream later on, so to not leave his wife to be. It's not a mythical story that Jesus was an actual person who lived on this planet Earth. People want to do anything and everything to the words of the Bible to discredit it. The Word of God can never be discredited. Never. Not in this life or in the life to come. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words. So we might as well get on the right side of the truth versus try to understand what the world is throwing at us. You know, I've been an evangelist for many years. I've heard a lot of things. But one of the things, the hardest has been for me to see that secularization today is accomplishing far greater things than chains and fire in the life of the Christian. What chains and fire could not take away from the believing Christian, today secularization is capable of entering into people's hearts and changing their minds, and where they are even questioning if God's word can be trusted. God's word can not only be trusted, but it will endure far more than this generation that we live in or this world. So these story that I've just read, it took place as it is recorded in the scriptures. Now, whether we believe in it or not, it's up to the individual. The Holy Spirit is very important for us as Christians to understand the truth of the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit, the truth cannot be revealed. You could put two people reading the Bible together. One might just read it and not get nothing out of it, and the other person will read it and just raise their hands and praise God. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. So do not ever rely on your own strength to convince somebody to believe. Pray to the Holy Spirit to crush people's hearts and soften it in order for them to see the truth. Mary did not expect this miracle to take place in her life. Her life is interrupted in a mega, mega way. How would she explain this to her parents? Mom, Dad, guess what? What? Well, I'm pregnant. How? Well, the angel appeared to me. Sweetheart, tell us the truth. Angel called Gabriel appeared to me. God has not spoken for 400 years. You tell me now the angel appeared to you? Tell us the truth, Mary. Does Joseph know? Well, I've not told him yet, but I will. Don't tell him yet. He might just... What about the in-laws? Boy, they were rough because they always protected their son. The more sons you had in those days, the better protection you had in your old age. They were your social security. They worked hard. They supported the parent. If you had girls, well, they went with the husband. So there was a lot going on here. Mary did not know how to process all this. She did not have a degree from Harvard. She was just getting on with her life, looking for her wonderful future. She was looking forward to her big day, and God interrupts her life. And she says, "You are favored amongst all others. I would give the world away." When I hear those words, for God to tell you and me, you are favored upon all. When God's favor rests upon you, you are the richest person in the world has ever seen. What a great treasure. Now, I want to also correct some theology here. Some denominations have taken this verse out of context, and they've ended up with a prayer, Mary full of grace. You know, that prayer that we say, and we've covered this in our last Bible study. They really go with this verse where the angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Greetings to you who are highly favored, and it must stay like that. It's not full of grace. Yes, she was a very wonderful woman, full of grace. Yes. God, I mean, we honor Mary. We love Mary. We do not worship Mary. We do not pray to Mary. Mary was saved through the same vehicle as we are, and it is Jesus Christ. Nobody comes above Jesus. No one on earth or in heaven or under the earth. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible tells us. But we honor Mary. We love Mary. We cherish Mary. And she was blessed amongst all other women. And she, even in her wonderful praise to her cousin, Elizabeth, she says, "Blessed I am amongst all other women." Man, what a privilege for a person to be chosen to carry a task that is going to have eternal impact on humanity. I love Mary. I really do. But I also feel the pain that she went through. You know, at Christmas, we love making everything so nice, right? Mary could not celebrate Christmas. She could not celebrate Advent. She has to process so many things. You know, in life sometimes, you know, things come to our lives that we try to find solutions to. We can't. We did not ask for it. It just has come upon us. So what do we do? I think Mary did the best thing she could. Mary answers the angel. She says, "May it be done to me as you have said." I don't understand this. I think the angel encouraged her as well. You know, in the last story, he says, in the last phrase, he says, look, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, she is carrying a child. Mary, there's nothing impossible for God to do. She knew about her cousin. Back then, they did not have baby showers. They did not have texts. Hey, Mary, I want to tell you something. Elizabeth texts from, you know, Jerusalem. Hey, by the way, I'm carrying a baby. Don't ask how. It just happened. No, none of this. Mary, for the first time, is hearing this after 6 months where Elizabeth is just, you know, that your cousin, she's carrying a child in her old age. A miracle already happened. At that very moment, Mary accepts it and says, well, may it be done to me whatever you wish, Lord. Sometimes we are never going to understand what life brings upon us. But I think the best thing we could do is say, Lord, I don't understand it, but help me to bring glory to you through this process that you've placed me in. God will not take you through any journey that he will not give you the enough grace to carry it. That's why the church becomes so important in my life. The church of Jesus Christ, not the house of Satan. Because you have two types of churches. The Bible clearly declares it. You know, some churches or some synagogues have become synagogues of Satan. Why? They've taken Jesus out of the picture. They've taken God out of the picture. But I'm talking about the true Jesus, true church of Jesus Christ, which we try with all humility to be that church, is that you need one another to uplift you in times of trouble. And for you and I to understand the mysteries that God has placed us in. That we will never find answers. And when miracles happen, the body rejoices. And when grieving things happen, the entire body grieves. But we carry each other's burdens. The Church of Jesus Christ was established for this very purpose. To bring glory to God and uplift one another up. Do you understand what's happening here? It's not about just singing hymns. It's about declaring God's glory to the ends of the earth. Now she has to explain all this. She has to explain it to Joseph. And as we read the story, Joseph is going not to even say, Mary, I have no words. The best thing Joseph could have done is end the relationship. And he loved her. You could see that. He did not want to hurt her. He could have made a big thing out of this that, you know, this is not from God. You are cheating on me. You're going to be stoned to death now. He was within his rights to do that. Because any person who did what Mary was claiming to have not done, nobody would believe her, but the husband-to-be had every right to take her to the court and stone her to death. He chooses not to do that. But see, my friends, I've also learned that God who calls is the God who provides. Joseph needed to hear words from the angel. And the angel appears to Joseph. And he changes the way Joseph thinks. So you are not alone. The God who calls you into something, he will provide miraculously all the needs that are needed for that project. And protection. You know, I'd rather be protected by the angels of God than humans. There's always a cost. The cost comes at the expense of those who you love. Sometimes, God is going to protect you by moving you from certain circles. The last thing you want to be is an environment that is very destructive, yet you've become accustomed to emotionally. God is going to remove you from there because he loves you dearly. And we are going to fight to go back to where we were. God wants the best for you at this side of eternity. And when he does that, he will provide you with all the means and sometimes lastminute.com. But show it to me now so that I've got a good picture. You will mess it up if you have all the answers. You really will. And you know what? What I find in my own life, and this is the honest truth, is that I will pray less and I will depend on God less if I have all the answers to life's questions. Why do you need God? I mean, the problem with society today is that they think they have all the answers, yet they do not want to talk about death anymore. If you look at society, we don't talk about death. Oh, they've transitioned. Transitioned to where? Or they've passed away. Where did they pass? They don't dare to talk about the word death because death for them is the end and they don't have the answer about eternity. For us, death is just a person falls asleep. And at that very moment, Scripture tells us, God's Word tells us that absent in the body, but they are present with the Lord. For the secular world, they do not have this. So they live with false hopes. And they will try to create a false world in order for them to function within it. See, Christianity, in its essence, is authentic, transparent. You've got nothing to hide. But it always comes at a cost. What did it cost the disciples? It cost them their families and their community. What did it cost Mary? Her whole future. She had to carry that child, knowing that that child was special. And she knew at that very moment when he was being crucified that Jesus came to die. What a terrible thing for any mother to go through. You know, I'm sure deep down she says, well, God, can't you just choose another vehicle? Does my son have to die for the world? After all, for these crooks in the temple who are just, you know, they're dishonoring your name. God's ways are different than ours. At this side of heaven, I've said this and I want to say it again. It's very messy. Sometimes I don't understand it. Sometimes and many times I don't have the answers. But what I know is this. Every day that's called a day, I want to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And sometimes I'm going to mess it up. And God uses my messed up stuff for his glory. It's fascinating. But the question comes back and back. Do I want to be like Mary? Yes, but it comes at a cost. And the cost is dear. Because the cost will eat you up. Physically. Because you will miss things that you had. But God cannot do great things through you if he does not put you where you want to be in life. So walk as such that God wants to. And Jesus says, if you believe, you're going to see things that are amazing. You're going to do greater things than the ones that you saw. See, the problem is that we don't see great things today in America is because we don't believe as we should. There's always a plan B, plan C, plan D. The Christian must always have a plan A and no plan B when it comes to matters of the glory of God. Now, of course, we have to be practical. People say, well, you know, oh, I don't need to go work to work. God is going to provide for me. I say, you're lazy. Get out and just go and work. Well, God provides. Yes, he does. Therefore, he gave you a job to go to. Well, I don't like my job. Well, start liking it. Do you see the excuses that we could come up with? God will provide. Of course he does. He has given you health in order for you to get up and work. Well, I don't feel like it. Oh, go and see a therapist. Do you see how the excuses that we come up with? Well, I really don't like the way things are going. Let's explain that. Why do you like the things to go your way or God's way? We come up with so many excuses that we just hinder God from revealing so much more to us because we want to think so small. We're trapped in our own dreams. Think the way God wants you to think. Think beyond the borders of your life. Because you are and I are just instruments in his hands. God wants to do great, great things through your foolishness and my foolishness. There's a book called The Fools for Christ. Absolutely, but who wants to be foolish in this society? Because you're full of, you know, the society seems to be full of wise people nowadays. That they are destroying each other. The wisdom of God is far greater than man's wisdom. I want to rely on that. And with God, all things are possible. All things, not just some things, all things. Let me just finish it with this story. There's this little girl, she hears about, you know, a story that her Sunday school teacher teaches about this moving mountains. You know, if you pray, if you believe that God can move mountains for you. This little girl was 6 years old and it happened in Brazil. She goes home and She looks outside her window and there's this huge hill that's always hindered the sun to come to her home. And she prays and she says, Lord, I believe that you can move that hill. And within weeks, there are tractors coming and just moving that hill away. Dynamite's going right and left. They're destroying that hill to build a new highway. Now, you might say that, oh, well, it just happened. Well, God, in his wisdom, heard that child's prayer before even she was born, so that he arranged the entire workforce to happen when she prayed that prayer. See, God answers your prayers far before you've prayed for them. But he wants you to pray those prayers. Are you ready to really engage and ask God for things that are beyond your capability to receiving them? That's what prayers are. By faith, we ask for things that we have not seen. It's very easy to ask for things that you can see, and you can even answer those prayers by creating the things for yourself. No. Ask for big things. And go with Mary's prayer and say to God's voice as you read scripture. See, some people say, well, why doesn't an angel appear to me? I say, you don't need angels. First of all, you will faint. You won't make it. Number two, everything you need to know, God has given it to us in his word. Just read it. You know, Mary did not have the word. She needed the angel. In so many countries today that I've got friends who are missionaries who work, the word of God does not exist. It is illegal to have it. And God is appearing to certain individuals in many parts of the world, and they are coming to faith without the word of God because they need those angels or the presence of Jesus to appear. I've got friends who have come to Christ. I've worked with them because they've witnessed and seen Christ. I say, have you seen them again? And they say, no, because now we have the word in our own language. And we praise God because everything we need to know is found in the Bible. Everything you and I need to know is found in his word. The only thing we need to do it, read it. Read it when you don't feel like it. Read the Psalms. Read the stories of Christmas. Sometimes it will even help you to fall asleep. Seriously, I'm sometimes going, you know, you're gone because it's so relaxing. Sometimes you're so tired and the only thing you need to do is just read. My friends, it is exciting, but it takes trust. And trust in this world is very hard. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Oh, sorry, I said it wrong, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean on your neighbor's understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge me. Please correct me. That part you should have got it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. With God, all things are possible. None of the things that I've said come from me. They're all in scriptures. Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but God lives in me. The life I live for the glory of the Son of God, who loved me and he died for me. Boy, there's so much. Go and memorize it. And when you need it, bring it back to mind. Jesus brought these verses and many others when he was being tempted by Satan. Where Satan used scriptures to tempt Jesus. And what did Jesus say? No, it is written, do not put the Lord your God into test. Boy, people know how to use scripture out of context. I've seen so many people use scripture out of context. Love your enemy. Doesn't mean the devil here. Love your enemy and do good to those who hate you. And then he tells about the Samaritan story, you know, the Good Samaritan. Everything has to be taken within context. God is going to do great things in your life this week. I'm not just saying this. Just pay attention. And God is in the small details. Right? Let's give him all the glory and honor. Amen.